So shall I say the introduction part?
Yes, you said introduction part.
Hare Krishna，亲爱的奉献者们，大家晚上好。今天呢是2020年9月11日星期五的晚上，我们今天呢又非常非常荣幸的能够听到我们敬爱的阿叔 Krishna Baladev Prabhu 为我们讲述一个新的系列课程。那么这次的新的系列课程的名字呢是 Mahabharata，敬请聆听，Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya,
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya。
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 See, we're still offering the same praise as we offer to Srimad Bhagavatam.
所以我们线上的这个祷文呢，和我们在讲述圣贤波迦瓦坛的时候所献的祷文是一样的。
Because Mahabharata is the main protagonist, and Mahabharata is Lord Shri Krishna.
因为呢，Mahabharata 里面讲述的最主要的这个人物是 Shri Krishna。
We're going to hear about many great personalities.
当然，我们也要聆听很多的伟大的人物的事迹。
We're going to hear that about many fantastic stories.
而且呢，我们也将听到很多非常的令人惊叹的故事。
We're going to learn many things.
我们将学到很多的东西。
But the main focus is Krishna and devotion to Krishna.
但是呢，我们最主要的专注点呢，是要专注在 Krishna 以及对 Krishna 的奉爱之上。
So before we begin this very auspicious narration of Mahabharata, we want to offer first our respectful obeisance to our most beloved Srila Prabhupada.
当然，在我们进行对于 Mahabharata 的美妙的讲述之前呢，我们先要向我们的挚爱的 Srila Prabhupada 献上我们的祷文。
Because it was he, because of his great kindness, he brought Krishna consciousness to outside of India.
献上我们的顶拜，因为是出于他的无缘的仁慈，他才把 Krishna 知觉带出了印度。
Srila Prabhupada did not translate the Mahabharata.
Srila Prabhupada 并没有翻译 Mahabharata。
But he told many stories of Mahabharata in his purports throughout his books.
但是呢，他在他的所有的著作的要旨里面讲述了很多的 Mahabharata 中的故事。
He read Mahabharata and he heard many stories of Mahabharata in his childhood and in his youth.
因为呢，当他在这个童年的时候，以及在他青年的时候呢，他都听了很多的关于Mahabharata 中间的故事，他也读到过 Mahabharata。
So, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatadeshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Panchakalpatarubhyacha Kripa Sindhubhyaya Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda So, we also offer our obeisance to all the previous acharyas and Srila Vyasadeva and to Lord Krishna himself.
我们也向我们之前的所有的 Acharya 们献上我们的顶拜，向 Srila Vyasadeva 以及 Sri Krishna 本人献上我们的顶礼。
So this Mahabharata was actually the personal compilation written by Srila Vyasadeva.
这部 Mahabharata 呢，它是由 Srila Vyasadeva 亲自编撰的。
It's not a story of events that happen in India.
这并不是在印度所发生的故事的事件。
is actually history of humankind.
这其实是人类的历史。
So it concerns all of us, no matter where we were born, what is our background.
所以说呢，无论我们是在什么地方出生，或者说是我们的背景是怎么样的，其实它是和我们每一个人都是相关的。
So this is part of our humanity.
对呢，这是我们人类的一部分。
So this Mahabharata was divinely inspired by Srila Vyasadeva.
这部Mahabharata 呢，它是由舍拉维亚，就是它是由舍拉维亚萨德夫得到了神性的激励。
Yeah, this is not a speculation or fiction writing.
所以呢，这并不是心智推敲或者是一个神话故事的撰写。
We may hear many things that blow our minds.
但是我们可能会听到很多的信息，这些信息呢，让我们这个脑子是受不了的。
But we should not disbelieve.
但是呢，我们不应该不相信。
This is not imagination. These are real facts.
所以呢，这并不是想象，这是真正的事实。
Srila Vyasadeva, he wrote he compiled the Vedas and divided the Vedas in four.
Srila Vyasadeva, 他编纂了韦达经，并且把韦达经分成了四部。
And then he wrote the supplements of the Vedas.
然后呢，他又写了这个韦达经的一些补充的材料，就补充的书籍。
To help us to understand the knowledge of the Vedas.
所以呢，能够帮助我们理解在韦达经里面的知识。
As we know, the purpose of the relationship with the Vedas, the main purpose is to know Krishna and to love and serve him.
所以说呢，无论是韦达经也好，或者是韦达经的补充文献也好，它的目的都是为了要让我们更好的去了解 Krishna， 并且去爱他，去服务他。
The whole Vedic body literatures are divided in three aspects, three divisions.
整个的伟达的这个文献呢，它被分成三个主要部分。
One is called Shruti.
其中的一部呢，被称为叫 Shruti.
Shruti refers to the four original Vedas.
那么这 Shruti 呢，它指的是最原初的伟达，四部伟达。
So you have the Rig Veda.
比如说我们有 Riga Veda,
Yajur Veda,
Yajur Veda,
we have Sama Veda,
Sama Veda,
and Atharva Veda. Atharva Veda.
Atharva Veda.
So these are emanate from the breathing of the Lord.
那么这些呢，它都是来自于主的呼吸的。
They are eternal.
所以他们是永恒的。
So they were not created.
所以他们并不是被创造出来的。
As the Lord is eternal, the Vedas are also eternal.
比如说主他是永恒的，伟达也是永恒的。
They come from the breathing of the Lord.
他们是来自于主的呼吸。
And then the other division is Smriti.
然后另外一个这个方面呢是 Smriti。
See, the Shruti, the four original verses, are the primary scripture, is the authority in itself.
那么这个 Shruti, 也就是最原初的这四部伟达呢，它本身就是就是最主要的，就是最永恒的。
It's the authority of the Lord through the Vedas.
因为呢，它是这个通过伟达来展现的主的权威。
Everything we need to know.
那这里面呢，包含了我们所知道的所有的一切，我们需要知道的一切。
Whereas the Smriti, it takes authority from the Shruti and is written to explain and to elaborate on the Vedas to make it them more understandable and more meaningful for the common people.
那么这个 Smriti 呢，他是从 Shruti 那儿得到了授权，然后呢，对于这个Shruti 进行了进一步的解释，这样呢，才能够使普通大众能够更好的理解经典中的深意。
So like the Upanishads are considered Smriti.
比如说像乌帕尼沙德，它就被认为是 Smriti。
They explain the philosophy of the Vedas.
他们呢是解释了伟达经里面的哲学。
And then the Vedanta Sutra is also Smriti. It explains the essence of the Vedas.
Vedanta Sutra 也就是这个终极伟达经呢，它也是 Smriti， 它解释的是伟达经，它解释的是这个伟达经的精髓。
It's the conclusion of the Vedas.
它是伟达经的结论。
And then there's Itihasa.
然后呢，就有 Itihasa。
Itihasa means historical records from the Vedas, like the Puranas, Ramayana, and Mahabharata.
那么 Itihasa 呢，它是在伟达经里面的一些历史记录，比如说呢，像往事书 Purana， 还有像Ramayana， 还有 Mahabharata， 这些都属于是历史记录。
So historical records, two historical accounts.
所以呢，它是历史记录，就记录了这些这个历史的事件。
And within the Mahabharata, there is the Bhagavad Gita, which is one of the Upanishads, the essence of the Upanishads.
那么在 Mahabharata 里面呢，就涵盖着《薄伽梵歌》。那么这个《薄伽梵歌》呢，它是其中的一部乌帕尼沙德。那么它是乌帕尼沙德的是精髓部分。
So we cannot understand clearly the past history of humankind unless we consult these books like the Puranas, Mahabharata and Ramayana. Otherwise, we can only speculate.
我们除非去参考像 Ramayana, Mahabharata 或者是乌帕尼沙德这样的这个记载着历史事件的这些书籍。否则的话呢，我们是没有办法真正的去了解人类的发展的历史的。如果要是不参考这些书籍的话，我们只能够去推敲。
Krishna, he knows everything perfectly, past and present and future.
Krishna, 他是完美的知晓一切，无论是过去、现在还是将来的事情。
So we have to consult these literatures.Left by Krishna in order to know whatever happened in the past, whatever happens now, what will happen in the future.
所以说呢，我们就必须要去咨询 Krishna 所给予我们的这些文献，然后呢，从而能够真正的了解在过去、现在以及将来都发生了什么。
We cannot remember the past, what happened.100 years ago, 1000 years ago, we don't remember.
我们没有办法记住过去发生的事情，比如说100年以前发生的事，1000年以前发生的事，我们是没有办法记住的。
So if you want to understand, are we going to rely on mundane historians and scientists or archaeologists to give us the perfect information of the past?
难道我们会依靠于这些世俗的科学家或者是哲学家以及这些星象学家来告诉我们过去发生了什么事吗？
Can we trust on the account of historians or what we call archaeologists who may excavate or scientists in order to understand what happened in the past?
那我们能不能就是真的信任这些科学家或者考古学家他们在这个给我们提供的关于过去的一些信息的记录呢？
No, they are human, ordinary human beings.
不行，因为他们都是普通的人。
Ordinary human beings means they have imperfect senses.
普通的人也就意味着他们是具有不完美的感官的。
They commit mistakes.
他们会犯错。
They fall very easy and be caught in illusion.
所以呢，他们就很容易的让自己处于错觉之中，虚幻之中。
And besides all this, they have the tendency to cheat.
而且除了这之外呢，他们还有要欺骗的倾向。
This is the defects of all conditioned souls.
因为这是所有的受条件限制灵魂所处于的不完美的地方。
But we cannot trust on the account of mundane historians or scientists or archaeologists because they have these four defects.
所以说呢，我们就没有办法去依赖于世俗的历史学家、科学家和考古学家来给我们提供这些信息，因为他们都是具有这四项缺陷的。
But we should not feel hopeless.
但是呢，我们不应该让自己觉得无望。
We can still understand very clear, very in a very proper and right way, you can understand what happened in the past.
因为我们依然还是有一个非常的恰当的、准确的方式去了解在过去到底发生了什么。
Means we can receive perfect knowledge.
也就意味着我们是可以接收到完美的知识的。
But we have to receive from a disciplic succession of very qualified personalities that receive this knowledge by Krishna himself, and they are empowered to transmit this to other human beings.
但是呢，我们必须要通过使徒传系，这里面的非常的有资格的，通过Krishna 被授予了权利，然后呢，从 Krishna 那直接得到这个。信息的这个人把这个信息传递给我们。
That's why we don't rely on any knowledge unless it's coming from a very bona fide disciple succession.
所以说呢，除非这个知识它是来自于一条正宗的使徒传系的，否则的话我们是没有办法去相信这个知识的。
Because all the acharyas in our disciple succession, their only main job is to pick up the information they receive perfectly from their predecessor and they give to their successor.
因为呢，在我们使徒传系的所有的这些 acharya 们，他们做的工作就是，他完美的把这个知识从他的上级得到了以后呢，然后呢，他再把这个知识在原本原样的传递给他下面的人。
That's like we have the experience. We read Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. We know the accounts of all these books are exactly as they happen because this knowledge descends through a divine parampara.
那就比如说，当我们在阅读圣典《博迦瓦坛》以及读《博迦梵歌》的时候，我们都知道，就是这些知识它是的确就是这样这么传递下来，就是这个是。就这些知识可以这样去相信的，因为呢，它是从一个正宗的 parampara 一个使徒传系这样传递下来的。
Srila Vyasadeva compiled two very important bodies of work. One was the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the other was the Mahabharata.
Srila Vyasadeva 呢，他编撰了两套大部头的著作，一套呢就是《圣典博迦瓦坛》，另外一套呢就是《Mahabharata》。
But Srimad Bhagavatam is for very qualified souls.
但是呢，圣典博迦瓦坛呢是为那些非常的有资格的灵魂读的。
Means those who follow a very strict discipline in devotional life.
也就是说呢，是为那些非常的严格的追随奉爱服务的生活的那些灵魂去读的。
But this is just a very rare type of souls that have this.Capacity that this qualification to understand Srimad Bhagavatam.
但是呢，有这样的能力，有这样的资格去理解圣典博迦瓦坛的这样的灵魂是非常的罕见的。
So what about the other human beings?
那所以其他的人怎么办呢？
What is their chance?
他们的机会在哪里？
So the Mahabharata was compiled for everybody.
所以说呢 ，Mahabharata 就为所有的人这样诞生了。
To give a chance to the conditioned souls to gradually become more and more interested in spiritual life, in devotional life, and eventually become perfect.
使得这些受条件限制的灵魂呢，能够逐渐的对于这个灵性生活以及奉爱生活呢，越来越感兴趣，然后最终呢，能够让自己变得完美。
Most people are very interested in hear about social, about historical presentations.
那么有很多人呢，其实是愿意去听一些关于社会啊，或者是这个历史上的一些事件的展示的。
So for them, Srila Vyasadeva compiled the Puranas and the Mahabharata.
那么对于他们来说呢，Srila Vyasadeva 就为他们编纂了往事书 Purana 和 Mahabharata。
Let's remember that Srila Vyasadeva is Lord Krishna's incarnation.
那我们必须要记住，Srila Vyasadeva 他是主的化身。
Is not interested in entertaining people with mundane things just to make them busy, occupied in hearing or reading something.
他可没有兴趣，他可没有兴趣用一些非常世俗的东西去娱乐大众，但他们只不过是有一些东西可以忙着去读而已。
Their interest is the interest of Srila Vyasadeva is to revive Krishna consciousness in the heart of all the conditioned souls.
Srila Vyasadeva 他真正感兴趣的事情呢，是能够使所有的受条件限制灵魂内心中的 Krishna 知觉能够得到唤醒。
Yes, it presents very interesting historical topics.
的确，它确实展现的是非常有意思的话题。
But this is just to attract the minds and the hearts of common people, so through that they receive the message.
但是呢，它这只不过呢是为了要吸引普通人的注意力，然后呢吸引他们的心意，这样他们就能够对这个话题感兴趣。
As you're going to notice, the Mahabharata is full of historical, fantastic events, and they build up until comes to the big war of Kurukshetra, and our attention is so much focused because what's going to happen, and right when we are the most focused, the most attentive, in a great expectation, Krishna presents the Bhagavad Gita.
那我们要知道 Mahabharata 里面呢是罗列了一系列的历史的事件，然后最终呢就积累到了Kurukshetra 的这场大战的爆发，使得所有人的注意力全部都集中在这场大战的爆发的这件事情上。那么当大家的注意力全部都集中在这儿的时候，突然之间 Krishna 他就向世人展示了国家梵歌。
And then our attention focus on Krishna.
而我们的注意力呢，就专注在了 Krishna 的身上。
We focus on Krishna's message.
我们专注在了 Krishna 所传递的信息上。
And the Bhagavad Gita is meant to give us the real message that we are actually spiritual souls and we have a loving connection with Krishna.
那么国家梵歌它的用意就在于要把这真正的信息给我们。告诉我们，我们是灵性的灵魂，我们和 Krishna 之间是有着关系的。
Remember when in the beginning of the story of Krishna, before Krishna appeared, the demigods, Mother Bhumi was very afflicted because so many demons disturbing other people, and then she approached Lord Brahma, and all together with other demigods, they all went to see the Lord to help the situation in this planet Earth.
那在记得当主 Krishna 降临于世的时候，当时的这个地球星宿上是一片混乱。Bhumi 母亲就是地球的化身 ，Bhumi 母亲，非常的沮丧，也非常的这个担忧。然后呢，他就来找 Brahma。来向 Brahma 阐明了这个情况，然后主 Brahma 和所有的这些半神人们一起来找主，并且呢希望主能够改善这个地球星宿的状况。
So they prayed to the Lord to come and to lift the burden caused by these demonic forces in this planet.
他们呢就是向主祈祷着，希望主能够这个去掉在这个地球上有所有的这些恶魔所产生的重负。
So the Mahabharata narrates how actually this happened, how the Lord actually, relieved the planet from all these demonic forces.
所以说呢 ，Mahabharata 它其实就讲述了这一段历史，讲述了主他是如何移除了在地球上的这些。 由恶魔所产生的重负的。
So Mahabharata is full of moral principles.
那 Mahabharata 里面呢 ，you mean two moral principles, right?
Moral, full of moral principles.
Okay. 那 Mahabharata 里面呢，完全都是关于道德的原则。
There are many economic solutions.
还有很多的经济上的解决方案。
Many political ideas.
还有很多的政治上的概念。
But we are going to emphasize most the essence of spiritual life.
但是呢，我们要强调的是关于灵性生活的实质。
Which means devotional service to Krishna.
那么它的意思呢，也就是说是对 Krishna 的奉爱服务。
So we hope that those who hear this narration will become more attracted to Lord Krishna.
所以呢，我们希望能够聆听到这条讲课的奉献者们呢，能够对 Krishna 更加的具有奉爱之情。
Krishna himself, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and my activities, after leaving this body, they don't need to take birth again in this material world. They will come to my abode.
Krishna 说，那些了解我的显现和活动的超然本质的人，在离开躯体时不会再降临这个世界，而是会来到我超然的居所。
Srila Prabhupada explained that when he was young, when he was a child, he used to hear these stories, and then he used to play the stories of play with the stories of Mahabharata, and even dream about these pastimes.
Srila Prabhupada 说呢，当他还小的时候呢，他会聆听 Mahabharata 里面这些故事，然后呢，他也会就是去上演这些逍遥故事，然后他晚上甚至于做梦都会梦见。
When Srila Vyasadeva conceived the idea how to write the Mahabharata, because it's his own writing, when he conceived about that, he started thinking how he could actually make this story, this history available to the world.
那么当Srila Vyasadeva 他在构思在怎么写 Mahabharata 的时候呢，他就在琢磨着到底如何让这些历史使整个世界都能够知晓。
So he meditated on Lord Brahma.
对呢，他就冥想着主 Brahma.
Who is the source of our parampara.
基于我们的 parampara 的这个源泉。
Lord Brahma is the origin of our parampara in this material world.
那主 Brahma 呢，他是我们在这个物质世界的Parampara 就是这条使徒传系的头。
He is the one who received knowledge directly from Lord Krishna.
主 Brahma 他是直接从主 Krishna 那儿得到了知识。
So he approached, he meditated on Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma appeared to him.
所以呢，释迦维亚萨夫呢，他就冥想主 Brahma， 然后主 Brahma 呢就显现在了他的面前。
So Srila Vyasadeva greeted him with great reverence and offered obeisance.
Srila Vyasadeva 呢就怀着崇敬的心欢迎了他，并且呢向他顶拜。
And he told Lord Brahma, I have conceived this idea of writing the Mahabharata, but it's so vast. I don't know we can write it down when I dictate it.
然后呢，他就对主 Brahma 说呢，说我现在呀正在构思要写 Mahabharata， 但是呢，这把 Mahabharata 这套著作呢实在是太浩瀚了，那所以我就在想，那我要把它给念出来，口述出来，但是谁能够帮我把它写下来呢？
So he would narrate, but he needed somebody to write it down.
所以呢，他是要口述，但是他需要某人来帮他记录。
So Brahma was very happy about the idea of Vyasadeva, and he congratulated him.
所以主 Brahma 呢就非常的喜欢 Srila Vyasadeva 的这个想法，所以呢就恭喜了他。
So he told them, the person who can help you is Ganapati.
然后他就对他说呢，这个能帮你的这个人呢是 Ganapati。
Ganapati is considered the scribe of the demigods.
Scribe the demigods.
Scribe means a writer.
Yeah. 这 Ganapati 呢，他被认为是半神人里面的文书。
Is the son of Lord Shiva.
他是主西瓦的儿子。
So I told him, approach Ganapati, he can help you.
他说呢，你去找 Ganapati, 他可以帮你。
So Vyasadeva meditate on Ganapati.
所以说呢 ,Vyasadeva 他就开始冥想 Ganapati.
And Ganapati appeared before him.
然后 Ganapati 呢就展现在他的面前。
So Vyasadeva received him with great respect.
然后呢是 Vyasadeva 呢又是满怀着敬意的迎接了他。
And he explained the situation.
并且呢向他解释了这个情况。
I desire to dictate the story of the Mahabharata.
我呢非常的想口述 Mahabharata 这部故事。
So I pray to you to please accept to write it down.
所以呢我请求您能够接受把我的口述给写下来。
So Ganapati said, yes, I will be very pleased to do that.
然后 Ganapati 说呢好呀我非常的荣幸很开心能做这件事儿。
But my pen must not stop while I'm writing.
但是呢我只要一写我的这笔就不能停。
So you must dictate without pause or hesitation.
那么所以说呢你的这个口述呢就不能够因为顿挫而停下来。
I mean, you cannot pause. I have to be writing all the time.
因为呢我必须得一直在写所以呢你不能停。
So I can only write on this condition. Do you accept?
那所以这是我唯一就是我如果是写的话呢就必须在这种条件下写你能不能同意呢
So yes, this, Mahabharata is composed of 100,000 verses.
那么这个Mahabharata 呢里面有上十万个诗节。
Actually, verses made of two is like a shloka. Shloka is made of two verses in terms of one line, two lines, you see? So two lines, two verses is one shloka. This 100,000 shlokas means 200,000 verses.
那它其实它就是由这个由十万个 shloka 构成，那么这十万个 shloka 每一个 shloka 里面呢都包含两个诗节，那也就是说呢，这一共是由200,000个诗节构成的。
Is the largest writing body that exists.
对呢 ，Mahabharata 呢是存在中的最大部头的书籍。
Nothing in Srimad Bhagavatam is so great, so big. It's only 18,000 verses.
圣典不加瓦坛非常的伟大，而且呢也是非常的浩瀚的。但是呢，它才只有18,000条诗节。
Whereas the Mahabharata is 200,000 verses.
而 Mahabharata 呢，一共有200,000个诗节。
So.Vyasadeva agreed to the condition of Ganapati.
所以呢 ,Vyasadeva 呢他就同意了 Ganapati 所提出的条件。
But he thought how it's impossible to not pause and to not hesitate while narrating such a vast body of stories.
但是呢他在想我在口述这么浩瀚的大部头的书籍的时候，我怎么可能有这个没有顿挫的时候，以及有不停下来的时候呢？这是不可能的。
So he told Ganapati, I agree with you, but you first must understand the meaning of what I dictate before you write it down.
他说呢，我同意你的这个条件，但是呢，在你下笔之前，你必须要自己理解我口述的这个内容的意思。
So, and Ganapati accept the condition.
那 Ganapati 呢也同意了这个条件。
So Vyasadeva began narrating the Mahabharata.
所以说呢，Srila Vyasadeva 就开始口述 Mahabharata。
And time to time, he would compose some very complex verses.
那然后时不时的时候呢，他就会说出一些非常的复杂的诗节。
And he would force Ganapati to pause for a while to try to grasp the meaning before he write down, because it was the condition.
那所以呢，这样就强迫 Ganapati 他必须要停下来，要好好琢磨一下他这个诗节到底是什么意思，这样他才能够写。因为这是他的条件。
So that would give a pause to Srila Vyasadeva to compose more verses in his mind to prepare to narrate them. So he would add some pauses.
那这样的话呢，就给了 Srila Vyasadeva 一些停顿的机会，然后呢，让他在心里边有更好的这个时间去想去琢磨其他的他要接着写的这些诗节。
So Ganapati would not stop writing, but sometimes would pause to try to understand the meaning of some verses, so it would give time to Vyasadeva to think about other verses to dictate after.
所以说呢，Ganapati 呢，他虽然说并没有停止写，但是呢，他有的时候他就得停顿一下，因为他在停顿的时候，他必须要琢磨他现在要写的这首诗的意思到底是什么。但是在他停下来琢磨的时候呢，就给了 Srila Vyasadeva 一些时间去琢磨他接下来要写的诗。
Ganapati is Ganesha, the with a elephant head.
Ganapati 呢就是象鼻神 Ganesh.
Is the same person who has a head of an elephant.
Ganapati 和就是有大象的头的 Ganesh 是一个人。
He has like a human form, but the head is head of an elephant.
Ganapati 他是有一个人类的身形，但是他的头呢是象头。
So at one time, because of writing so much, his pen broke.
但有一次呢，就是因为 Ganapati 他写的太多了，他的这个笔断了。
So in order to not miss time to look for another pen, he broke one of his tusks to use as a pen.
那就是为了要不耽误时间能够继续写呢，他就把他的鼻子给掰断了一条，然后用他的鼻子来接，就是用他的这个象牙，对不起，不是鼻子，他的象牙，就是他的象牙拔下了一根，然后用象牙来当笔写。
So you see many, many pictures of Ganesh. One of his tusks is broken in a point.
那所以说呢，我们可以看到有很多的 Ganesh 的照片，那他这个图片上呢有一颗牙是断掉的。
So now you know why one of the tusks is broken in a point.
那所以呢，现在我们就知道了为什么他有一颗牙是断的。
Because he was the person who wrote actually the Mahabharata.
因为呢 Ganesh 他其实是真正的写下 Mahabharata 的那个人。
But Srila Vyasadeva was the one who narrated it.
而 Srila Vyasadeva 呢
dictated it.
而 Srila Vyasadeva 呢是口述 Mahabharata 的那个人。
So before it was written by Ganapati, Vyasadeva has taught this knowledge to his son Shukadeva Goswami.
但是呢，在Ganapati 写下这个故事之前呢 ，Srila Vyasadeva把这个故事讲给了他的儿子 Srila Sukadeva Goswami 听。
And also narrated to other disciples.
他也向他其他的那些门徒们讲述了这个故事。
He was just thinking in case the book written by Ganapati would be lost, at least this knowledge would not be lost.
因为他就在想，如果要是 Ganapati 所写的这本书要是遗失了的话，至少这门知识并没有被遗失掉。
When the king Janamejaya, the son of King Parikshit, was conducting his great sacrifice to kill all the serpents.
Parikshita 王的儿子 Janamejaya, 他有一次呢就进行一个非常大的祭祀，要用这个祭祀呢来杀死所有的蛇。
Because he wanted to avenge the death of his father, who was killed by a snake.
因为呢，他要为他的父亲报仇，因为他的父亲呢是被一条蛇给杀死的。
At that time, one of the disciples of Srila Vyasadeva He came and on his request and narrated the Mahabharata during the pauses during this, because during the five sacrifices, some pauses and they read their narrations from the scriptures. So one of the disciples of Srila Vyasadeva, Vaisampayana, he narrated the Mahabharata to the gathering of people in this, those that sacrifice.
那因为在祭祀的这个时候呢，经常中间会有一些断歇的时候，那么在断歇的时候呢，就会有这个有人开始念诵经典。那么其中有一次这个断歇的时候呢，Srila Vyasadeva的这个门徒，sorry, Ashu, the name of
Vaisampayana.
Vaisampayana. 他就被要求呢来。 讲述 Mahabharata.
Sutta Goswami was in that assembly and he heard, like he heard Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami, also heard the narration of Mahabharata.
那当时呢，在场聆听的呢，有Srila Sutta Goswami. 那么就像他听到了Srila Sukadeva Goswami 讲述圣典薄伽瓦坛一样，他当时呢就在这个场合里面就听到了 Mahabharata 的讲述。
And then when he went to the forest of Naimisharanya, he also narrated the story of Mahabharata to the great sages that were assembled under the guidance of Shonaka Rishi.
那么当他来到Naimisharanya森林的时候呢，他也把 Mahabharata 的这个故事呢讲给了由圣人Shonaka Rishi 所率领的这一众圣人们听。
And he was very happy when he was given that opportunity. He addressed all the assembly of great sages. He was very happy.
那么当他被给予这样的机会去讲述的时候呢，他非常的开心。当他来到了这些圣人的聚众的面前的时候，so
I had the good fortune to hear this story of Mahabharata composed by Srila Vyasadeva himself.
那Srila Sutta Goswami说呢，我非常的开心，因为我有机会聆听到了由Srila Vyasadeva亲自所编写的Mahabharata。So
I'm very, very, very excited, very happy to narrate this book to you because it teaches us the principles of religion and the purpose of life.
那我呢就非常的兴奋，而且呢我也很开心的想把这部故事分享给大家，因为。 他教导了我们关于生活，就是教会了我们这个生活的要义以及生命的原则。So
he said, actually, when I heard this story from the disciple of Srila Vyasadeva during the sacrifice conducted by the son of King Parikshit, Janamejaya.
他说呢，我当时呢是在。 由帕克西特王的儿子詹纳米扎耶所进行的祭祀的现场上，听到了Srila Vyasadeva的门徒讲述这个故事。So
after hearing that, I made a very long pilgrimage to all the great places mentioned in this book.
那么当我听完了这个讲述之后呢，我就进行了一个非常长时间的朝圣，然后我去朝拜了在这本书里面所提到的所有的这些圣地。
And then I went to Kurukshetra to visit the battlefield where the great war of Kurukshetra happened.
然后呢，我又去了Kurukshetra，这个伟大的战，就是伟大的战争，Kurukshetra之战所上演的那个地方。So
after that, I came here to meet you.
在那之后呢，我就来到这儿来见到了你们。Then
he started narrating the Mahabharata.
然后呢，他就开始讲述Mahabharata.
So along with the Ramayana, Mahabharata is a fountain of all moral, religious principles and explaining the real culture of all human beings.
那么他就是Mahabharata和Ramayana一起，和给我们都是讲述了关于。 宗就是宗教的原则，还有道德的理念，以及关于我们人类的发展的。So
this is the most important human heritage.
那么所以说呢，这是人类的最重要的遗产。
not the historical records we have from our textbooks written by human beings with all the four defects of conditioned souls.
这并不是我们在学校里面的教科书上所学到的这些历史记录。那么那些历史记录呢，都是由有着四个缺陷的人所写的。
So we have to erase from our memory most of these historical accounts that we have heard and read from very imperfect human beings.
所以呢，我们必须要把我们的脑子里面所存着的由不完美的人所提供的任何的历史的那些信息给抹掉。
Doesn't mean that everything is wrong.
但这并不意味着所有的这一切都是错的。
But they are full of mistakes.
但是呢，确实有很多错。
And full of cheating.
而且有很多的欺骗。
We don't know where is the truth, where is the cheating, where is the mistake. We don't know when you read all those historical records from imperfect human beings.
对呢，当我们在读由不完美的人所提供的所有这些历史的记录的时候呢，我们不知道到底是哪些地方是错的，然后哪些地方是让我们我们不知道什么地方是错的，什么地方是有欺骗的，什么地方是不真实的。
So we have to take account of the history of the past from Mahabharata and Ramayana because they give us the perfect account of everything that happened in many thousands of years before.
所以呢，我们就必须要依赖像《Ramayana》《罗摩衍那》或者是《Mahabharata》这样的书来真正的了解历史，因为它是非常的清晰的向我们罗列了之前的这些所有的历史事件的。
So we should not think in terms of, oh, this is a Hindu historical book or some historical book from India. No, this is a book about the history of humanity.
那所以呢，我们不能够只认为哦，这是来自于印度的书，或者说是讲述印度历史的书。不是的，那么这些书呢，都是讲述的是关于人类历史的书。
So in the Bhagavad Gita, particularly in the beginning, we hear about so many the names of so many personalities that we don't know who they are.
那比如说呢，在博迦梵歌的开篇的地方呢，我们就听到了好多的人名，那其实我们并不知道这些人到底都是谁。
So right in the first chapter, when you hear Dronacharya giving an account of all the great warriors on his side and the great warriors on the other side, he cites so many names. And you read all those names and they have the Chinese pronunciation of all these names. But most of us, we don't know who are these personalities.
那比如说呢，在这个博迦梵歌的第一章里面呢，就说了好多的这个名字，比如说这个 Dronacharya 他在这一方都有谁谁谁，然后在那一方又都有谁谁谁谁谁，然后呢我们这个把这个中文用中文把它给念出来之后呢，其实完全就是云里雾里的，根本就不知道这些人到底都是谁。
The same in Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes the names of certain persons are mentioned and not so much is explained about those personalities.
而且呢，在圣典博迦瓦坛里面也是如此，有的时候呢就会突然提出一个名字来，但是我们根本就不知道这人是哪儿的。
So in the Mahabharata we become more acquainted with these personalities, particularly from the time of Krishna and a little before Krishna.
那么在 Mahabharata 里面呢，就能够让我们更加的去了解在博迦梵歌以及博迦瓦坛里面所提到的这些人物，特别是在 Krishna 显现以及在 Krishna 显现之前的那段时间的那些人物。
So the Mahabharata is composed of 18 books.
Mahabharata 呢，一共由18部书组成。
We could say like in Bhagavatam we have the cantos. We have 12 cantos. In Mahabharata there is 18 cantos.
我们可以这么理解，就是圣典博迦瓦坛呢，它一共有12篇。那么Mahabharata 呢，一共是18篇。
And then within each canto or book, there are several chapters, sometimes just one chapter.
然后呢，在每一篇里面呢，有的是有 很多章节，有的呢可能就只有一个章节。
So we begin with the first canto is called Adi Parva. Parva means canto or book.
那么我们呢是从第一部开始讲起，第一部呢被称为叫 Adi Parva. Parva 的意思就是篇的意思。
Adi means the beginning.
Adi 的意思呢是开篇，开始。
So is the beginning canto, like you would say the first canto.
对，我们可以把它称为叫开篇或者叫第一篇。
Is the story of Maharaj Santanu, how he married a great personality, a great celestial personality.
那么这第一篇呢，讲述的是关于桑塔努王的故事，他如何和一个非常伟大的天仙的人物结婚了。
And it's very important to know a little bit about this king because he's the origin of many great other kings that came before that we hear about them in the Bhagavad Gita.
而且呢，就是要了解一点关于这位国王的信息也是挺重要的，因为呢，他是我们在《博迦梵歌》以及《博迦瓦坛》里面所听到的很多的国王的原始的这个头。
So sit down.
所以请坐。
Relax.
放松。
Open your ears.
请睁开您，请这个打开您的耳朵。
Open your hearts.
敞开您的心扉。
And be ready.
让自己做好准备。
So Maharaj Santanu marries a very important celestial being.
那么 Maharaj Santanu 他娶了一位非常重要的天仙人物。
He took birth in the solar dynasty.
那么 Santanu 王呢，他是在太阳王朝降生的。
The same dynasty that Maharaj was what Lord Ramachandra took birth. The same dynasty.
是主 Ramachandra 也是在这同一王朝降生的。
He was not just a king. He was the emperor of the whole planet.
但他努王他并不仅仅是一位国王，他是整个星球的大帝。
Before 5,000 years ago, the whole planet was ruled by one emperor and many kingdoms with many kings, but all under the domination of the emperor.
那么在5,000年以前呢，整个的这个星球全部都是被一位大帝所统治。那么在这个星球里面呢，是有很多的王，就是有很多的这个王国，但是所有的这些国王呢，全部都是在这一位大帝的控制之下的。
So the Emperor Santanu was not only very famous in this planet, but actually all over the universe.
桑塔努王他不仅仅是在这个星系中非常的著名，他是在整个宇宙中都非常的赫赫显名。
Because he had the most excellent qualities.
因为呢，他是具备着最卓越的品质。
He was self-controlled.
他是自制的。
He was a very forgiving person.
而且呢，他也有非常大度的宽容心。
Very intelligent, but at the same time very modest.
他非常的有智慧，但与此同时呢，又很谦卑。
Very liberal to everyone.
他对每一个人都非常大度。
Very patient.
很有耐心。
At the same time, very powerful.
但与此同时呢，他又非常的有力量，非常的有权势。
And above all these qualities,
但是在他所有的这些品质之上，
he was a great devotee of Lord Vishnu.
他是主 Vishnu 的一位非常伟大的奉献者。
So he was given the title of King of Kings.
所以呢，他就得到了众王之王的头衔。
So in the beginning, Santanu Maharaj he had no children.
那在最开始的时候呢 ，Santanu Maharaj 他没有孩子。
He had no wife.
他也没有妻子。
So one time he was wandering in the forest.
那有一次呢，他就在森林里漫游。
And he went to a place was usually frequented by heavenly beings like Siddhas and Charanas who would come to that particular place, spot in a forest.
然后呢，他就来到了森林里面的某一个地方。那么通常来说呢，这个地方呢是由这些Siddhas 还有就是这些 Charanas 就是这些天仙们会去到的地方。
This is a class of demigods.
那么他们是某一类的半神人。
Not like the normal demigods who are rulers. They are all, these are also heavenly demigods, but not rulers.
这些并不是那些具有统治地位的半神人，但是呢，他们也属于是半神人。
There, suddenly, Shantanu Maharaj saw a very angelic, very beautiful young lady.
然后突然之间呢，沈腾努王就看到了一位非常美丽的年轻的女子。
She was so effulgent. It looks almost like the goddess of fortune.
那么她呢是绽放着光芒的，她看起来就像是幸运女神一样。
And when he approached her, he noticed that she was looking at him with very loving eyes.
那么当沈腾努王接近这位女士的时候呢，他就注意到这位女士是以满怀着柔情的眼光正看着他。
He looked at him with very loving eyes.
他以满怀着柔情爱意的眼神看着他。
So our King Shantanu totally is our heart melt with attraction for her.
所以说呢，我们的沈坦努王呢就彻底的被他所吸引了，他的心都被融化掉了。
And ask her, why are you such a beautiful woman? What are you doing here?
然后就问她，你如此一位美丽的女子，你在这里做什么呢？
Are you from the race of Gandharvas?
您是来自于 Gandharva 所居住的地方吗？
Apsaras?
您是 Apsara 吗？
Or are you from the human race?
或者您是属于人类？
Where are you from?
您是从哪里来的呀？
He was totally captivated by this personality.
对呢，他完全的被这个人给迷住了。
He could see that she was not an ordinary being.
那他可以看到，就是沈特努王能够看出这位女士并不是一个普通的人。
She was so extremely beautiful.
因为她实在是太美了。
So he told her very frankly, you know, I really would love to have you as my wife.
对呢，他就直截了当的跟他说，我真的想让你成为我的妻子。
So this is what is love at the first sight.
对呢，这就是一见钟情。
Immediately became captivated. He wanted to marry with her.
所以呢，他因为立刻就被他所吸引，并且呢，希望马上能够把他娶回家。
And guess what?
猜猜发生了什么？
He smiled at him.
他向他笑着。
And said, "My dear king, I certainly will become your wife."
他说：“我亲爱的王啊，我当然要成为您的妻子。”
And whatever you ask me, I will do in the service to you.
无论您让我做什么，我都愿意服侍于您。
But I would like to mention some conditions.
但是呢，我要提出一些条件。
You should not interfere with my actions.
你不要介入到我的行动之中。
If they are nice, very agreeable or disagreeable to you, you should not interfere.
无论我从事的这个活动是好的，您同意也好，您不同意也好，你都不能介入。
You should never chastise me with harsh words.
而且呢，你也不能够用重话来骂我。
If you agree with that, then I will live with you as your wife.
如果你要是同意的话呢？那我就做你的妻子，和你生活在一起。
King Shantanu was already so much attracted to her.
像他的王现在已经是完全被他给吸引了。
So he agreed whatever she proposed, he agreed.
对，无论他说什么，他都照单全收。
So she told him.
所以他，所以这位女士对像他的王说。
What conditions were? He should not disagree with any action he would do, either acceptable or not acceptable. He should not disagree.
就是给他提出了条件，就是无论这事儿你同意还是不同意，反正你都不能介入。
So he took her back to his palace, and they have their wonderful marriage ceremony.
所以，桑坦诺王呢就把他给带回到了他的皇宫之中，并且呢。他们举行了盛大的结婚典礼。
Everybody in the kingdom loved her.
在王国里面的所有的人都非常的爱这位女士。
She totally satisfied the king by her, not just by her charm and affection, and also by her talents like music and dance, by her service attitude.
所以说呢，他不仅仅是以他的美貌和他的这个姿态打动了国王，而且呢，还有他的他的这个技艺啊，他的舞姿啊，以及他的态度啊，就是他所有的一切都很令国王满意。
So they spend very wonderful time together.
所以呢，他们在一起过着非常美妙的幸福生活。
And eventually, she started giving birth.
然后呢，她就开始生产，就生开始生孩子了。
That's the main purpose of having a marriage. You conceive a child.
那么怀孩子，这是结婚的最主要的原因。
Particularly in those days.
特别是在那个年代。
So when the first child was born.
所以呢，当这第一个孩子生出来以后
，She took the child.
她就带着这个孩子
，And went to the Ganges River and threw him into the Ganges.
然后呢，带着这个孩子来到了恒河，并把这个孩子给扔到了恒河里。
This is for your good, and threw him into the water of the Ganges. He drowned.
然后呢，他说这是为了你好，所以呢，我要把你扔到恒河里，所以就把这孩子给淹死了。
The king had promised to not, disagree with her, so he didn't say anything, even though he could not understand, and he felt so much pain in his heart of losing his first child, but he could not say a word, because he had promised her.
那国王见状呢，虽然说他内心非常的痛苦，而且他也不明白为什么他的妻子会这么做，但是由于他承诺过他的妻子，他不会对他的行事有任何的干扰，所以呢，他也没办法，只能让他这么去做了。
They conceived another child and happened the same thing.
然后呢，他们又怀了第二个孩子，这同样的事情又发生了。
And the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth, and the seventh, they all were thrown in the Ganges.
然后第三个、第四个、第五个、第六个、第七个，全部的都被扔到了恒河里。
So on the birth of the eighth child, the king could not tolerate anymore.
所以呢，当这第八个孩子在降生的时候呢，这国王实在再也受不了了。
And he spoke very harshly to her.
所以呢，他就用了很重的话对他讲话。
Don't kill this child.
别杀死这个孩子。
Why you are killing your own children?
你为什么要杀死你自己的骨肉呢？
You are murdering your children, and this is a very you're gonna get a very very severe sinful reaction.
你在谋杀你的孩子，你会为此而得到非常重的业报的。
So when she heard the king speaking like that,
对的，当他听到国王这么对他讲话的时候。
Very calmly,
她很平静。
She spoke to him, replied to him.
她非常平静地对国王说。
Certainly, I will not throw this child into the Ganges.
我不会把这个孩子扔到恒河里去。
But according to our agreement before this marriage, so our relationship now finished.
但是呢，按照我们在婚前的约定，那现在所发生的事情使我们的婚姻就这么结束了。
Oh, Shantanu was devastated.
Shantanu 可是崩溃了。
So then she explained.
然后，他的妻子解释说。
I am Ganga. I am the personification of the river Ganges.
我是恒河，我是恒河的人格化身。
I am worshipped by great sages and even common people.
我被伟大的圣人，甚至于普通的人都在崇拜我。
Because my origin is the divine feet of the Lord.
因为我的源泉是来自于主的神圣的足。
Actually, I came here and married with you simply to accomplish the purpose of the demigods.
但是呢，我之所以来到这里，并且和你结婚的原因呢，就是为了要满足半神人们的一些目的。
So, be tuned for the next session. We're going to tell the story of what happened.
所以，至于后面发生了什么？请大家静心的等待，我们下一周会为大家继续的讲述。
Many of you probably already know the story.
但是呢，可能有很多奉献者可能已经知道这个故事了。
But it's always nice to hear again.
但是呢，我们能够总是再次去聆听这个故事，总是非常美好的。
So next Friday night we'll continue.
所以呢，下一周五晚上我们将继续。
We're going to do just 1 hour every night.
所以呢，就每个晚上，就每个周五的晚上呢，我们只讲一个小时。
But you have some time if you want to give some comment on what we have read so far. It's very much welcome. Or if you have any questions regarding what we have told so far, you are much welcome.
但是呢，如果您还有一些时间，您对于刚才我们所听，所就讲述的这些内容有任何的评述的话呢，那我们也很欢迎听到您的评述，或者说是您对于我们今天所讲述的这个内容有任何的问题的话，那我们也欢迎您能够提出问题。
We are going very slowly, and we will try to get into more as many details as possible.So we can really get the most from this very exciting narration of the Mahabharata.
那我们在整个讲述的这个过程中呢，会讲得很慢，我们会尽量的去更多的触及到在 Mahabharata 里面的各项细节，然后这样的话呢，就能使我们更好的去理解Mahabharata 里面的这些细节的内容。
So.You have some time, and if you want to give a comment and some areas or some question, just please try to keep your questions tuned with what we have spoken or related with what we have spoken.
Yeah, 那所以大家如果有任何的评述或者有任何的问题呢，都可以提上来。然后呢，大家这个要注意点，就是提的问题呢，就最好和我们所讲述的这个内容是相关的。I shall hear questions.From Rajendra Prabhu. 恒河母亲是个体灵魂吗 ?Is Ganga mother, is Ganga mother an individual soul? And also, if she is eternally alive?
Yes, she is individual soul and she is eternal alive.
的确她是一位个体灵魂而且呢她是永恒的活着的。
Is a perfect soul.
她是一个完美的灵魂。
Appears in this material world in the form of a river.
那他呢是展现 Sorry, I'm distracted. He is appeared in the form of river, right?
Appeared in this material world in the form of a river, but actually she is a goddess.
Okay, 那么他呢在这个物质世界呢是以一个河流的形式展现的，但是呢她是一位女神。
So he's in the category of the demigods.
他是属于半神人的范畴。
But she is a very special because she appeared from the lotus feet of the Lord.
但是呢，她非常的特别的原因呢，是因为她是从主的莲花足显现的。
That's why she's worshipped. She's worshipped by all great sages, even demigods.
所以说呢，她就为什么会被所有的这些圣人们所崇拜着，即便是半神人们也都会崇拜她。
Remember when Vamanadeva he made its second step to get the land from charity land from Bali Maharaj. The second step, he went so far, he pierced the heart cover of the universe and the causal water that emanates from the lotus feet of the world of the Lord came inside this universe.
大家还记得当 Vamanadeva他要得到他的布施者巴里马哈拉指的三步土地的时候，他的第二步就迈得太大，然后呢，他的这个莲花足呢就触碰了这个宇宙的苍穹的外壳，然后呢就使得元婴之阳里的水呢就从他的足尖就流下来了，然后呢这个水就是恒河水。
So this is the Ganga, yes.
那所以这就算了说厉害点，那这就是那恒河水。
嗯、okay.Next.
Yeah, the next is the comments from 偏若惊鸿 Prabhu. 太动听了，虽然知道故事，可是再次聆听阿叔的讲述是那么的甜美动听。顶拜阿叔，感恩阿叔和翻译。This is so beautiful. Although I know the story, however, after hearing the narration from you again, it's so sweet. It's so vivid. Please accept my very humble obeisances to you.
And when you narrate this to others, it will become even sweeter.
当您把这个故事再讲给别人听的时候呢，它会变得更加的动听，更加的甜美。
That's the nature of this narration.
因为呢，这是这样的讲述的特性所在。
It's really very captivating, very sweet.
因为呢，它确实是非常的动人的，非常的甜美的。
So even great devotees like Srila Prabhupada, he delighted himself so much by hearing or do plays, dramas, you know, based on the stories of Mahabharata.
所以呢，就即便是像 Srila Prabhupada 这样非常伟大的奉献者，他也非常的就他也非常的这个热衷于去聆听以及去演绎 Mahabharata 中的故事。
嗯。Is one of the most important historical epics in the world.
那么所以 Mahabharata 呢，它是我们在这世界上最重要的史诗巨著之一。
嗯、yes, very wonderful. Thank you.
非常非常的奇妙，谢谢您的评述。
Yeah,
下面这个问题呢、yeah. 是 ，Yeah, from Rajendra. 今天的故事是安排好的吗？为后来的 Krishna 显现做准备吗？是什么意思呢？Rajendra Prabhu asking that for the part you narrate today, it has been pre-arranged. Is that for the preparing of Lord Krishna's appearance?
Yes, this is going to build up. It's going to build up until the appearance of Krishna, and then eventually.The topmost reason of Krishna's appearance to kill or finish with all the demons, relieve the burden of this planet Earth, and give the most precious jewel of all his messages, the Bhagavad Gita.
的确是这样的，就是所有的这些故事，所有的这些事件呢，都会这样一点点的累积起来，直到这个是Krishna的显现。然后呢，其实。他堆积的这个目的呢，是为了要使这个 Sri Krishna 他最终要杀死所有的这些恶魔，然后呢，要减掉这个地球上的这个重负，然后最终呢，是要把薄伽梵歌的这个教导要传递出来。
So it's going to build up. Yes, going to build up.
所以说呢，就是他将是这样累积，就是这些故事将这样逐渐的累积起来。
So remember, in the beginning, said the main focus of Mahabharata is Krishna.
那所以我们还记得在最开始的时候，我们说了 Mahabharata 它 最这个主要的专注点就是在于服务 Krishna 的上。
Even though in the beginning, well, even in many stories where Krishna is not involved, he's not even there.
那虽然说在最开始的时候呢，可能我们会听到这样或那样的很多故事 ，Krishna 根本就没有进来 ，Krishna 根本就没有在这个故事之中。
But they are related. They eventually bring us to understand, to see Krishna and the purpose of Krishna coming into this material world.
但是所有的这些事情其实都是相关的，它最终呢会把我们带入，要看到 Krishna， 并且要告诉我们，Krishna 他要来到这个物质世界的原因。
So not only Mahabharata is a historical record from the Vedas, but it's also part of Smriti. It means giving the understanding of the most important aspect of the Vedas, and this is the Bhagavad Gita.
那么所以说呢，就是这个 Mahabharata 它不仅是这样一部Mahabharata is not only the.
It's not only the historical record of the
这个就是这个Mahabharata 它不仅仅是一部这个历史记录的这个史诗的巨著，而且呢，它也是就是 Smriti。它其实它也是一种 smriti， 因为它在这里面要呈现的是国家颂歌，是主直接给的这个信息。
It's the most important message of the Vedas is the Bhagavad Gita。
因为呢，在韦达经里面最重要的信息就是国家颂歌里面所给出的信息。
Because in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says very clear the purpose of the Vedas is to know me。
因为在国家颂歌里面 ，Krishna 他讲得非常的清楚，他说呢，伟达的目的就是在于要去了解我。
And in the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna encourages us to give up any other duties and just surrender to Him.
而且呢，在《薄伽梵歌》结束的时候呢 ，Krishna 他就鼓励我们要放弃其他的一切的职责，只是向他皈依。
Because our connection with Him is eternal.
因为我们和 Krishna 之间的联系是永恒的。
Yes. Okay, next.
Then the next question, Rajendra Prabhu, 恒河女神的父母是谁？ Who are the parents of the goddess Ganga?
She came from the lotus feet of the Lord.
她是来自于主的莲花足的。
I never saw any mention of her parents. I don't know if because she's coming from the lotus feet of the Lord and the personification.Is that beautiful lady that appeared in marriage is a personification of Ganges, but it came from the lotus feet of the Lord. I never heard any record of her taking birth from parents in heaven planets or in any part of the material world.
就是我从来没有听说过恒河母亲她是出生在哪一个天堂星宿或者是在哪个世界的部分的。那么我们知道呢，就是恒河母亲，就是这个恒河，它是来自于主的莲花族的。然后呢，它的这个人格形象就是那位嫁给森塔努王的这位非常美丽的女子。但是呢，她没有关于她父母的记录。
So she's her origin is Lord Vishnu himself.
所以说呢，她的源泉来自于主 Vishnu 本人，来自于 Mahavishnu。
The
next question, actually, Shibika, she's asking the same question as Rajendra Prabhu. She's asking who is the parents of the Ganges' mother, and also she's asking if the parents is the king of the snow mountain.
She made, I never heard that, but it could appear in order to fulfill some particular pastime, she could appear.As a child of somebody, like many great personalities do, but just for the pastime, the origin, her origin is Lord Vishnu. It's like Lord Brahma. He does not have a father. Mother. He was born from a flower that sprouts from the abdomen of Krishna. You cannot say he had a father and mother. But when Lord Brahma appeared, Haridas Thakura, for instance, he has a father and a mother, but he's just for a particular pastime.
你看是这样的啊，就这个恒河女神呢，她也许可能在某一个消时光里面的展示，使得她可能是由某一位父母生出来的。但是呢，阿树说呢，他自己并没有听到过这方面的这个信息。但是呢，恒河女神她是来自于 Mahavishnu 的这个元婴之阳的这个水的，那就像是主 Brahma 一样。那么主 Brahma 呢，他是从莲花上直接生出来的。那他也就是，那你也没法说他到底他的父母是谁。但是呢，Haridasa Thakura 是Brahma 的后面的一个化身，一个转世。那么 Haridasa Thakura 他是由父母生出来的，但是这个呢，是由于他的这个逍遥时光里面的需要，所以他这么安排。
So Gama could also appear in a particular pastime.As the daughter of the snow mountain, it says that the daughter of snow mountain because she fell on the head of Lord Shiva, because it's so potent, so strong, she fell on the head of Lord Shiva was the only person who could retain her in this material world, and from Lord Shiva, she was released into the Himalaya mountains, and Himalaya mountains are called the snow mountains.So it seems that the origin is of snow mountains, or you could say the origin is head of Lord Shiva, but it's not. The origin is the lotus feet of the Lord.
So, 雪山就是这个恒河母亲呢，她因为在一个逍遥时光里面，那可能她就被显现成是这个雪山的孩子。那么因为这个恒河她是从主希瓦的这个头上这样倾泻而下的，那由于她的这个力量呢是非常强大的。
Wait, from the lotus feet of the Lord fell on the head.Of Lord Shiva because he was the only person who could contain their force.
Yeah. 就是因为他是从祖的莲花族上这样下来以后呢，然后呢，他这个流到了主的这个主希瓦的头上。那么只有主希瓦他有这么大的力量，能够承得住他的这个水。然后主希瓦呢又把他从这个喜马拉雅山的这个上面这个流泻下来，所以喜马拉雅山呢被称为叫雪山。所以呢，这样一来，他就好像被认为是雪山的孩子，但其实他是由主的莲花族上留下来的。
Okay, next.
Next, Rajendra Prabhu, 恒河女神在 Goloka 有她的位置吗？If the goddess of Ganges has a place in Goloka.
We don't hear about that.
我们没有听到这一点。
I never heard about that.
我从来没有听说过这一点。
Her origin is the causal ocean. The causal ocean is manifesting from the body of Mahavishnu.
那它最原初的地方呢是来自于元婴之阳，而元婴之阳呢是来自于 Mahavishnu 的体内的。
So Mahavishnu is an expansion of the Lord, but I never heard of any pastimes or her presence in any other form in the spiritual world.
那么这个所以说呢，这个 Mahavishnu 是恒河女神的最原初的地方，但是我从来就没有听过有其他的逍遥时光展现，它是显现于其他的地方的。
Like the same, we don't hear any pastime in the spiritual world with Mah.
Sorry, Ashwin. Deliverment.
Not. Okay.
Okay.
Next question. So like Mahavishnu, the pastimes of Lord Mahavishnu in the spiritual world.
对，这个呢就像是 Mahavishnu 在灵性世界的这个故事是一样的。
No, we don't hear pastimes of Mahavishnu in the spiritual world.
Oh, 我们没有听到 Mahavishnu 在灵性世界有显现。
Because it's a manifestation of the Lord for the material world, but it's no less, Mahavishnu is no less than Lord Krishna himself.
因为呢，这个 Mahavishnu 他是主在物质世界的显现的主，但是呢 ，Mahavishnu 和主 Krishna， 他们俩的这个是一样的，他并不一，他并不因为他是在物质世界显现，所以他就比 Krishna 要低。
So we never heard, we don't, if there's any manifestation of Ganga in the spiritual world, if we hear something about that, we'll let you know.
所以如果我们要是听到了关于跟Ganga女神在灵性世界有任何的位置或者有任何的这个信息的话呢，我们再和大家说。
And if anyone finds that information, please bring it up.
那如果要是有哪位奉献者要找到了相关的信息呢，也请提供给我们。
Okay, next question.
Rajendra Prabhu, 为什么这个 Mahabharata 被誉为是第五部伟大经？ Why the Mahabharata has been nominated as the fifth Vedas?
Yeah, because it is not the main part of the Vedas.
因为呢，它并不是伟达经的最主要的部分。
But it's a supplement that helps us to understand the four Vedas.
但是呢，它是补充文献，它能够帮助我们去了解那前面的四部伟达。
Okay, I can give you an example, perhaps can help. Another delivery. You have another delivery.
I'm so.
Turn it off. You have to turn it off.
你门口行吗？我可以放在门口吗？实在抱歉，对不起。That's one bad.
So we were saying like what was I was saying?
You said you will give us an example just now.
Example of
because the Mahabharata is a supplementary documentation for the fifth Vedas.And then you said that, then I didn't hear.
Forgot the example.
Okay, maybe
wait, maybe, like the fifth. Oh, okay, like what was the example? It's just an example that just just before. Anyway, it will come back. It will come back. Let's go to the next. Tell them sorry, but I'll remember the example to help you understand what is the fifth.Why is the fifth Veda?
刚才实在抱歉，因为刚才阿叔说呢，他要给大家讲一个就是一个例子来说明这个为什么 Mahabharata 它是第五部伟大经，但是呢，因为刚才被我这外面这个门铃声给搅的忘了，不好意思，实在不好意思。那阿叔说一会儿等想起来后再告诉您。那么下面的这个问题呢，实际上是一个评述。The next one is a comment.Here the devotee said that 终于知道 Ganesh 的牙是怎么断的了。感恩阿叔精彩的讲解，明白您的莲花族。我是 Rasa Rani Dika. Okay, so this is a comment from Rasa Rani Dika Mataji. She said that so now I finally know how the task of Ganesh to be broken. Thank you very much for your very delightful and beautiful explanation. Please accept my very humble obeisances to your lotus feet.
Oh, accept my humble obeisances to your lotus feet too.
我也向您的莲花足指以我前进的顶拜。
It's wonderful because as I told you, by hearing the Mahabharata, we're going to know so many things that we have heard, but we have not known in detail. So you're going to learn more detail about personality and events that we have heard in other places.
所以说呢，就像我跟您说的，就是我们在这个Mahabharata 里面呢，会听到很多的一些细节的信息。那么就是有些信息呢，我们在其他的这些文献里面呢是听到了有这个故事，但是呢就不知道到底是怎么发生的。然后现在就发现 Mahabharata 里面很多是跟这些都是相连接在一起的。
The next question.
The next one is explanation from Sumuti Raji Mataji. She said that 大家是因为看了电视剧里面恒河女神是在地球显现的父母是雪山王，她的妹妹是主希瓦的妻子 Sati。这是电视剧的演绎吧。She said that the reason for devotees has questions about the parents of Ganges is because we watch the dramas. And in the TV drama, it showed that the goddess' parents in the Earth planet is the king of the snow mountain. And her sister is the wife of Lord Shiva, Sati.So she's asking if this is just the script from the show, from the drama, but not really from Mahabharata.
Could be true, but they it's the way of, so it's a pastime. So in a particular, he came from Lord Vishnu, he's the origin. As I said, Lord Shiva was the only person who could,contain the force of the Ganga, otherwise she would destroy all the planets. So Lord Shiva contained the force of Ganga by using his own hair. So she entered in the hair of the Krishna, she was, Lord Shiva, and was, she was contained like that. And then from Lord Shiva, she came out with much less strength, and he came out with the different planetary systems. So he came also.Planets in this planet and the lower planets. And, but when he came to this planet, he came into the Ganges. That's where we see the Ganges taking birth is in Himalayas, is the snow mountain, is the Himalayas. So coming from the Himalayas, it seems he's taking birth of the Himalayas, but we know, when you know the whole history, you know, no, it's coming from Lord Vishnu.
那就是这个电视剧里面演的那个呢，有可能是确实是这样的，但是呢，它也是一个消失光的展现。那么，就像我之前所说的那样，这个恒河呢，它最原初的是来自于主 Vishnu， 但是呢，从主 Vishnu 的这个元婴之阳的这水下来之后呢，它的这个力量就太大了。那么，只有主希瓦的头才有可能承住它的这个力量，否则的话，这倾泻而下的这个恒河水就会把整个的这些。这个星宿体系都会给冲毁掉，所以说呢，主希望呢就承住了它，然后这样呢，在它的这个力的这个接触下呢，使得这个恒河才能够在这个地球星宿的或者是其他的这个星宿里面，在这个宇宙的这个过程中才能够流淌下来，但是呢。展现出来的呢，它是从这个喜马拉雅山，好像它是从喜马拉雅山这样被降生的，所以呢，这样就显现的成是这个喜马拉雅山是它的在地球上的这个父母。但如果我们要是知道整个的这个故事的话呢，就知道其实恒河它并不是由喜马拉雅山来这个出生，而是直接来自于主 Vishnu 的。
So it's not that the stories are false. It's just because they just explain one particular pastime, how she appears in a particular moment. It's okay, but that's does not mean it's the origin. Origin.
那所以说呢，这并不是说是这是错的或者是假的，只不过呢，就是他 在一个小时光中所展现出来的一个情景，但它只不过就不是最原初的源泉。
But it's also a fact that sometimes is there is some speculation or adding to certain details in the Mahabharata, particularly in Indian narrations. This can happen.
但是呢，特别是在一些印度的版本的讲述里面，他们就会在里边加一些情节出来，加一些本来 Mahabharata 里面没有的这些情节。
So because sometimes Mahabharata is not seen.As a true historical narration, but there is they feel is a little mythological. So when you think like that, or you present it like that, then you can add so many things to make it more far out.
因为很多人呢，他并没有把《马哈巴尔特》看成是一部经典，他把它看成是一个神话故事。所以说呢，当把它看成一个神话故事的时候呢，那就可以改编，然后把它改编的越神越好。
So we are trying to read from a record that is bona fide, is already approved, was written by devotees who are making proper research. So we are trying to narrate the accountings of the Mahabharata according to this research on real, the original texts.
那所以我们现在尽量的读的这个 Mahabharata 这个版本呢，是由这个奉献者经过仔细推敲了的最原初的这个版本。
And as we said, we are not so much interested in narrating all the little details of the story and things that stay away from the main topic, which means to eventually introduce Krishna and the process of serving Krishna, which is the main message of the Mahabharata.
而且呢，我们也不会去这个关注于太多的这些细节。而且呢，以至于使得这个细节把我们从这个要了解接近 Krishna 的这个主题都偏离了的这些细节上。那因为我们这个 Mahabharata 它最终的目的还是为了要去了解 Krishna。
So we focus on the more important aspects of the Mahabharata and try to explain that because this is what concerns most of us practicing devotees or aspiring devotees.
那所以说呢，我们就尽量的是要关注 Mahabharata 的这个主要的这个部分，并且呢，就是用它的这个目的呢，就是让我们能够更好的去接近 Krishna， 因为这是作为一个奉献者，最主要的目的所在。
Be reminded that the Mahabharata is mainly leading us to eventually hear the narration, the presentation of the Bhagavad Gita. This is the main importance of why Srila Vyasadeva wrote the Mahabharata.
而且呢，我们必须要记住一点，就是这个 Srila Vyasadeva 他写 Mahabharata 原因，最主要的原因就是为了我们最终能够听到薄伽梵歌。
And oftentimes when we hear television series presentation from the Mahabharata, they tend to focus more on these little detail, historical details, and they get lost.
但是呢，在这个电视里面的这些电视剧的版本里面，经常呢就变成他们会过度的去把注意力放在这些小的这些细节上，然后最后就把自己的本意就给忘记了，就迷失了。
And then they forget the main purpose. They don't relate.
然后呢就和这个Mahabharata 他最初的这个本意就不相关了。
Okay, any other?
No, we have all of the questions has been covered.
And you have a question also?
No, I don't.
I thought you were going to ask. Okay. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Your questions were related. It's very nice. This is very, very stimulating.
那非常非常感谢大家的这么有关联的问题，而且呢就是这些也是非常的有很激励人的。
But be mindful that there are many presentations of Mahabharata were too sophisticated with the accounts that are behind the real truth.
哦，但是呢，也要小心，就是因为呢，有很多版本的 Mahabharata，那有的 Mahabharata 呢，它其实太复杂了，复杂到了呢，就已经是超越了真理了。
Because they concentrate more on these spectacular scenes, presentations, and they don't focus on the main point of the Mahabharata.
因为呢，就是他们太多的关注于那些花哨的东西，然后呢，就偏离了Mahabharata 的主题。
And very often, those who present the Mahabharata like that, they don't even consider Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
然后呢，通常像那样版本的 Mahabharata 呢，他根本就没有把 Krishna 当成是自尊人格所生。
And certainly, this is not what Vyasadeva's narrated.
而毫无疑问呢，这并不是Srila Narada Srila Vyasadeva 所口述的那个版本。
It's very clear from the original narration that the main focus was to introduce the message of the Bhagavad Gita.
那这个非常的清晰的，就是Srila Vyasadeva 他要口述Mahabharata 的初衷，就是为了要介绍国家梵歌。
And he introduces very clearly how Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead.
而且呢，Srila Vyasadeva 也非常的清晰的指出了Sri Krishna 是至尊人格所生。
In many areas, the Mahabharata is considered like a historical epic of India. The Indians are very, very proud of this. They consider that is their historical epic, but it's not. Mahabharata is before India existed.
那么这个印度人呢，是非常的骄傲于 Mahabharata 的，因为他们认为呢，这个 Mahabharata 呢是描述印度历史的一部史诗巨作，但其实并不是，因为 Mahabharata 它的出现是早早早的在印度出现之前就已经有了。
And there are many people who are not devotees. They don't have any belief. They narrate Mahabharata as a legend, not as a historical fact, as a legend. And they
而且，
narrate it just to entertain people.
那么不是非奉献者的那些人呢？他们就把这个 Mahabharata 当成一个神话故事在讲述，并没有把它当成历史事件再去讲述。他讲述的目的只不过就是为了要去娱乐大众。
So we are trying to really extract what is the most important in this historical record of Mahabharata and present the main message of this important book.
那所以说呢，我们要就是把这个 Mahabharata 里面的这些经，就是这些实质都给萃取出来，然后呢，要把这个 Mahabharata 里面的最重要的这个信息要传递出来。
Okay, there is one last question there.
Pang Ji Dong Prabhu, 顶拜 Guru, 翻译您好，您好，直接看博家梵歌就可以了吧？其他的书可以不看吗？Please accept my humble obeisances. My question is that if it's okay, just read the Bhagavad Gita, no need to read the other books.
No,
Is
we
that
read
okay?
Bhagavad.
Okay,
Yeah, you can read only Bhagavad Gita, but you may not understand the main message of Bhagavad Gita. So Srimad Bhagavatam extends the message of the Bhagavad Gita.
您可以只读博家梵歌，但是问题是呢，您可能就没有办法完全的理解博家梵歌里面的信息，因为呢，比如说像盛典博家瓦坛，就是对于博家梵歌的信息的延展。
Like for Krishna, the last message of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is telling Arjuna to abandon all other duties in life and just to concentrate on service to Krishna, surrender to Krishna, and Krishna will take care of everything. But it does not explain the process of surrender, whereas in the Bhagavatam, everything is explained.
比如说，在博家梵歌的结束的时候呢，Sri Krishna 对 Arjuna 说呢，要放弃所有种类的宗教，然后呢，只是归于他，然后呢，他就将照顾 Krishna 的Arjuna 的一切。但是，Krishna 并没有向 Arjuna 在博家梵歌里面解释到底怎么向他皈依。但如果是去读博家瓦坛的话呢，就会很清晰的知道是怎么向他皈依的。
So when you hear Orishimad Bhagavatam, we will become more acquainted with the process of devotion and the benefits of engaging in devotional service to Krishna. So we are more inspired, more stimulated.
所以说呢，当我们读了圣典《薄伽瓦坛》之后呢，我们就对于这个奉爱服务的程序，以及呢，就是如何去服务主 Krishna， 就会更加的了解和清晰。然后这样呢，我们就会变得更加的这个被刺激，然后呢，就更加的想要去这么做，就更加有渴望。
And Srila Prabhupada, a pure devotee of Krishna, he spent so many sleepless nights in order to translate the Srimad Bhagavatam and give his perfect commentaries, purports, in order to help us to understand very clear what is the message of Krishna.
而 Srila Prabhupada 伟大的这位奉献者，他花了那么多的不眠之夜来翻译圣典薄伽瓦坛以及注解圣典薄伽瓦坛的这些师节的要旨，他的目的就在于能够让我们能够更好的去理解 Sri Krishna 的这个信息，然后我们如何去跟 Sri Krishna 去接近。
OK
Yes。
Okay, thank you very much to all of you.
非常感谢大家。
It's nice to narrate this wonderful story with many, many devotees hearing and giving their comments.
能够像这么多的奉献者来讲述马哈巴尔特的故事，然后呢还能够听到这么多的奉献者所给出的这么好的评述。
So thank you very much for your participation.
所以呢，非常感谢大家的参与。
And we give, we offer also our gratitude to our hosts, Sumukhi Radha and Sati Mataji, and our wonderful translator, Dhanakeli Mataji.
那我们呢，也向我们的非常美妙的主持 Sati Mataji 还有 Sumukhi Radha Mataji 表示我们的感激之情，也非常谢谢我们的翻译 Dana Kelly。
我的非常非常爱的翻译的。
谢谢阿叔。
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shrima Bharata ki jai, Srila Vyasadeva ki jai, Guru Premanandi, Hari, Hari, Hari.
阿叔ki jai。 Hare Krishna， 亲爱的奉献者们，那我们今天的这节课呢就到此结束了，非常非常感恩阿叔 Krishna Baladev Prabhu 为我们的非常精彩的甜美的讲述，谢谢 Sati Mataji， 谢谢 Sumukhi Radha Mataji， 感恩所有的奉献者的聆听，深深的顶拜大家，祝大家晚安。 Hare Krishna。